Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say is thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to wake up this morning. Thank you, Lord, for just being who you are. Awesome and gracious. Thanking God. Hallelujah. That I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. And the word that God gave me today is coming out of Proverbs chapter 12. And it's the right shoes his friends carefully. And that is an awesome word for today. And in today's society, we must be very careful who we allow into our friendship group. Everybody that smiles in your face is not necessarily someone you want to call friend. They may be an acquaintance, but they may not be friend material. So you have to be very careful who you choose as your friend. Are they living a lifestyle that is conducive to your Christian walk? Are they trying to pull you in and pull you out of yours to a world that's not yours anymore? If you used to smoke weed, you don't need to go to the house party where you can smell the loud before you even get out of your car. If you used to drink, you don't need to go to the barbecue where alcohol is liberally being served. If you have a history that are not like God, you don't need to go back into the midst of the friends doing what you used to do. So we have to be very careful who we allow in our group. If you know that Sister Susie has a jealous spirit, you don't come around Sister Susie showing off your new big diamond engagement ring when you know she wants to get married. But you know also that she has a crush on your fiance, and you're wondering why she's calling you everything but a child of God. You can't call her your friend. You got to be careful who you allow into your circle. Your circle should be a family circle, a circle with the people that you know are like your family, who love you, you're good, who love you, you're bad, who can forgive and let go and let God. The people that will be there to hold you up when you're going through. The folks that you can call and say, pray for me. And regardless of where they are and what they're doing, they will pray for you. The one that you can call in the middle of the night and say, I need your help. And they in their car before you can finish your sentence. That's your friend. That's the one that you can call on when you're in need. Be careful of who you allow into your friendship group. But before we go any farther in our prayers today, we lift up our nation. Pray with me this morning. We lift up our nation. We lift up our nation and the things that we have got to atone for. We have to atone for the wickedness of the past, because the wickedness of the past has come into this present time, when children are becoming less important to carry. When three babies and a senior are gunned down in a school, and it's becoming a normal thing. I was listening to the radio yesterday, and it said we've had, and since January, this is March, 3 months, since January, we have had 19 incidents of school shootings. 19 incidents of shootings since January. That is not, it's crazy. That is crazy. And we have got to pray for this nation, that God will forgive us for the sins of the past, and that he will cover our children. Children should not be afraid to go to school because they don't know if they will see their mom and dad in the afternoon, because somebody took it on themselves to kill the children. We've got to pray. We've got to pray for our nation that was built on blood and sweat and tears of men and women and children, but yet we want to hide our past, calling it critical race theory when it's history. It's horrible. We've done some wicked things, but we can repent and move forward. As a nation, I should not hate you because of the color of your skin. I shouldn't hate you because of who your ancestors were. What changes hate is love. God is love, and he wants us to love our brothers and our sisters just like we love ourselves. That is the second and greatest commandment, is to love your neighbor as you to love. Because how can you say you love God and hate your brother? We have to be careful of the friends that we associate with. If your friend is talking a whole bunch of nonsense and got you running, chasing after somebody who hates God and can't even tell you a scripture in the Bible, you need to understand. Don't fall for the OTC here. And we got to ask God for discernment. We have to ask God for discernment. And we have to pray. Heavenly Father God, I lift up this country that I love. I love America, God. You brought us here. Maybe we came as slaves, our ancestors. Some did. Some came through Ellis Island because of the nature of what they were coming from. Some came to slavery. Some came from the south. Some came from the north. Some came from the east and the west. But we all came to this great nation, some in shackles, some in hardship, some as indentured. But the bottom line is, God, we came. You either sent us here, brought us here, or have us here for a reason and a purpose. And we are a melting pot, God. We are your children. You, this nation shows all of your bouquet. Father God, we ask you to remove hatred and bigotry from this nation. Hatred that is affecting our children, God. We're asking you to cover each and every child in their classroom. Club cover each and every child as they walk home or go to school, Lord God. Protect them from all evil and hurt and harm and danger, God. We ask you, God, to give us a nation that not only loves you, not just something written on a bill, and God, we trust that it's something that's in our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. So, Father God, I lift up this word this morning, asking you to cover us from the crowns of our heads to the soles of our feet. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease, as Mother Valerie decreases, God. Speak through us that your word comes alive in minds, hearts, and spirits. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, Lord God, I thank you for this day that you have made. I rejoice in it. And I ask you again, Father God, increase every decrease. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are our strength and you are our redeemer. I lift this word up. We lift this word up. Asking you, God, to lead us and guide us and give us what to say and what not to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Asking you, Lord God, heal this way. Our nation divided against itself will not stand. Heal our land, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Good morning, everybody. I did not need for the commentary to be so long, but God put those words in my mouth. And I'm asking him to heal this land. I'm filled up when you think about our baby dying in another school shooting. It breaks our heart. It should break your heart. And I'm speaking to my brothers and sisters who believe in the right to life. We got to march against school shootings and our children being killed in school just as hard as we did for children in the womb. Babies in the womb are important, but once they get here, they're even more important because God has put the breath of life in them, and we want to protect them. So for my right to life, brothers and sisters, let's start fighting against the gun violence that's killing our children. And that is all I have for today. I'm just kidding. Mother Valerie will be speaking today. We just need her to push that one on her phone. We have a lot of calls today, and I'm grateful for all of you that are listening in. Mother Valerie will be reading this morning, and she will be coming out of Deuteronomy chapter 21 through chapter 22. I will come back with our psalm of the day, which is the 38th psalm, verses 9 through 22. Proverbs chapter 12 is our title word for this morning, verse 26 through 28. And if time permits, I will be also in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. Mother Valerie, I turn it over to you. Good morning, Mother. How are you this beautiful day?
Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's a great day. You were talking about the children. What the devil is trying to do is to kill off the generation of the young people. I mean, it's unheard of back in the day that people would kill the children. And that's what the devil is doing. He's attacking the children. And, you know, six-year-old, three-year-old, babies in the womb, he's attacking that generation. He don't want that generation to come. But in spite of what he's doing, that generation, if God delay is coming, will come. Will come. I mean, Deuteronomy 21:1. If anyone is found slain, lying in the field and land, which the Lord your God has given you to possess, and it's not known who killed him, then your elders and your judge shall go out measured the distance from the slain man to the surrounding city. And it shall be that the elders of the city nearest to the slain man take a heifer, which has not been worked, and which has not been filled with guilt. The elders of that city shall bring the heifer down to a valley with flowing water, which is neither plowed nor sown, and they shall break the heifer's neck there in the valley. Then the priests, the sons of the Levites, shall come near, for the Lord your God has chosen them to minister to him and to bless in the name of the Lord by their word. Every controversy and every assault shall be settled, and all the elders of that city nearest to the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer whose neck was broken in the valley. Then they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, nor have our eyes seen it. Provide atonement, O Lord, for your people Israel, whom you have redeemed. Do not lay innocent blood to the charge of your people Israel, and atonement shall be provided on their behalf for the blood. So you shall put away the guilt of the innocent blood from among you when you do what is right in the sight of the Lord. When you go out to war against your enemies, and the Lord your God delivers them into your hand, and you take them captive, and you see among the captives a beautiful woman, and desire her, will take her for your wife, then you should bring her home to your house. You shall shave her head, trim her nails. You shall shave her head. I don't think most women would want to shave off all their beautiful hair, but the Bible says you should shave her head, trim her nails. She shall put off the clothes of her captivity, remain in your house, mourn her father and her mother a full month. After that, you may go in to her and be your husband, and she shall be your wife. And it shall be, if you have no delight in her, then you shall set her free. But you certainly shall not sell her for money. You shall not treat her usually because you have humbled her. That's amazing. If a man has sex with his wife and he don't find her pleasurable, then he can get rid of her. But you shall not sell her for money. You shall not treat her abusively because you humble her. If a man have two wives, one love and the other unloved, and they have bore him children, both the love and the unloved, and if the firstborn son is of her who is unloved, then it shall be on the day that he bequeaths his possessions to his son that he must not bestow firstborn status on the son of the loved wife in preference to the son of the unloved. My gosh. So you can have one wife that you really do care about, the other one you don't care anything about. Well, why did you marry her in the first place if you didn't love her? The true firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the unloved wife as the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he has. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of the father or the voice of his mother, and who, when they have faith in him, will not heed them, then his father and his mother shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders of the city, to the gate of his city. They shall say to the elders of his city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunken. Then all the men of his city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. My nephew, Carolyn's son, I told him, I said, you know, you can be disobedient to your parents, and they can have you stoned to death. Oh, he said, God wouldn't do nothing like that. Auntie, that's not in the Bible. God wouldn't do anything like that. And I showed him this in the Bible. You should stone him to death with stones. So you should put away the evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. That's amazing, but God wants you to obey your parents. He really do. I mean, he put them in charge over you. Obey your parents. And like I said, obey the people in the church that are over you. If a man has committed a sin deserving of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain overnight on the tree. but you shall surely bury him that day so that you do not defile the land which the Lord your God has given you as an inheritance. For he who is hanged is a curse of God. My Lord. He said when Jesus, life lesson, when Jesus hung on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins, he became a curse for us in fulfillment of this verse. How amazing that God had used even his curses for our blessing. Although Jesus was a curse, he was a blessing to us, because if he hadn't hung on the cross, then we could not have salvation. So God turned that curse into a blessing for all people that would believe. I mean, that's totally amazing. All you have to do is believe, believe, believe. Just believe. Just believe his word. Believe what he's saying. Believe. And that's, I mean, God's word is just true. And that's all he wants you to do. We are his children. Believe the things that he sends. That's just like if I say, Pastor Bridget, I'm going to give you $500 for your birthday. She don't even have to, I don't even have to give it to her. The first thing she's going to say is thank you. Thank you, Mother. Thank you. I mean, that's all God wants us to do, is to believe, be grateful, and say thank you. I mean, he's the God of the heaven. He's Abba. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's our healer. He's our provider. He does so much. And you can see God everywhere you go. Everywhere you go. If you're looking for him, you can see God because he's there. He's there in the birds. He's there in the trees. Everything that has breath. Praise ye the Lord. And you can see God. If you breathe, I mean, he is there. Deuteronomy 22. You should not see your brother's ox or his sheep going astray and hide yourself from them. You should certainly bring them back to your brother. And if your brother is not near, or if you do not know him, then you should bring it to your own house, and it shall remain with you until your brother seeks it. Then you shall restore it to him. You should do the same with his donkey. So you shall do with his garment, with any lost thing of your brother's which he has lost and you have found. You shall do likewise. You must not hide yourself. You should not see your brother's donkey or his ox fall down along the road. Hide yourself from them. You should surely help him lift them up again. A woman should not wear anything that pertains to a man, nor shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all who do so are an abomination to the Lord your God. If a bird nest happens to be before you along the way in any tree or on the ground with young ones or eggs, with the mother sitting on the young or on the eggs, you should not take the mother with the young. You should surely let the mother go and take the young for yourself, that it may be well with you and that you may prolong your days. When you build a new house, then you should make a harvest for your roof, that you may not bring guilt or bloodshed on your household if anyone falls from it. You shall not sow your vineyard with different kinds of seed, lest the yield of the seed which you have sown and the fruit of your vineyard be defiled. God has rules. He has specific rules that he wants you to follow, like the Ten Commandments. God has rules, and we are to follow God. You should not plow with an ox and a donkey together. You should not wear a garment of different sorts, such as wool and linen mixed together. You should make tassels on the four corners of the clothing with which you cover yourself. If a man takes a wife and goes in to her to test her and charge her with shameful conduct, brings a bad name on her and says, I accept this woman. When I came to her, I found she was not a virgin. Then the father and mother of the young woman should take and bring out the evidence of the young woman's virginity to the elders of the city at the gate. And the young woman's father shall say to the elders, I gave my daughter to this man as wife, and he detests her. Now he charged her with shameful conduct, saying, found your daughter was not a virgin. And yet these are the evidence of my daughter's virginity. And they should spread the cloth before the elders of the city. Then the elders of that city should take that man, punish him, and they should find him 100 shekels of silver, give them to the father of the young woman, because he brought a bad name on the virgin of Israel. She shall be his wife. You cannot divorce her all his days. But if the thing is true, and evidence of the virginity or not found for the young woman, then they should bring out the young woman to the door of the father's house, men of the city, my goodness, to stone her to death with stones. Wow. That's amazing that a woman has to be a virgin when she gets married, and if she's not, she could be stoned to death because she has done a disgraceful thing in Israel to play the harlot in her father's house, and you should put away the evil from among you. If a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then both of them shall die. The man that lay with the woman and the woman, so you should put away the evil from Israel. If a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to a husband, and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you should bring them both out to the gate of that city. You should stone them to death with stones. The young woman, because she did not cry out in the city, and the man, because he humbled his neighbor's wife, so you should put away the evil from among you. But if a man finds a betrothed young woman in the countryside, and the man forces her, lies with her, then only the man who lay with her shall die. But you shall do nothing to the young woman. There is in the young woman no sin deserving of death. For just as when a man rides against his neighbor and kills him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the countryside, and the betrothed young woman cried out, but there was no one to save her. If a man finds a young woman who is a virgin, who is not betrothed, and he sees her, lies with her, and they are found out, then the man who laid with her should give to the young woman father 50 shekels of silver. She should be his wife because he has humbled her. He should not be permitted to divorce her all his days. A man should not take his father's wife nor uncover his father's bed. A man should not take his father's wife nor uncover his father's bed. God don't want you to do anything like that, because if you do, you're going against God. And remember, this is God who made the rules. We didn't. Life lesson says keeping it real. But I'm not going to read that, because that's Psalms 38, 9, and 10. God just wants you to believe him, follow him,
Mother Valerie,
do what he said
that,
to do.
Mother Valerie, that is actually part of the next section. And
that's what I
read it
that's
before.
What I said,
it
that
goes off.
It's real. It's part of Psalms 38, 9, 10, and I'm not going to read that, because that's what I was saying. That's like lessons for you
the next section. Yeah.
But God,
and honestly,
to do everything he tells you to do. And if you do that, then you're going to be in good shape. Just do what God tells you to do. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor. Give the Lord and the blessing to the hearers of his word.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And actually, you know, thank you, Lord. You know, when we talk about keeping it real, if you look at what Mother Valerie just read, we're talking rape. I'm just going to call it like it was. That if a man rapes a young woman, he could marry. That she was basically forced to marry her rapist. And if a man lies about a woman he marries, that she's a virgin, and then he lies about it because maybe he's looking at somebody down the street. You know, he's a boo-boo, and he's looking at somebody down the street, and he has to keep her as his wife. That's how abuse happens. I hate you, and then abuse happens. So we have to very much pray. In those days, I'm sure there were women that were being beat up because they were forced to be married to a rapist, forced to be married to someone who didn't love them. This is, you know, we are grateful. Thank God every day that Jesus came into this world and changed these things that we in a current society are not punished for being women. That he gave us grace. You know, I would hate that a child of mine, a virgin daughter, would have to marry her rapist. No. And if I had had a daughter, my late husband, who was a policeman, that man would not have made it to an altar. Just calling it like it is. But we all remember back in those days, old days, mother, what they call them, shotgun weddings. Where you messed it up, you got to marry it. You know, where you took what was not yours to take, you got to marry it. Shotgun weddings was happening back in the day. And I guess you could call these shotgun weddings, too, back in those days. They just didn't have the shotgun. They had swords and spears and the Lord, and they were not playing. You know, you defile somebody, they belong to you. You know, and if you defile somebody that belongs to somebody else, you are dead. You know, they didn't play with rapists back then. You know, sometimes they got the woman, sometimes they didn't. You know, we got to understand that God kept it real back then, and we got to keep it real today. So, Mother, forgive me, your Keep It Real title was right there with your lesson also this morning. We got to do what God says do. You know, and I understand that some of these laws are antiquated. You know, women can't wear pants. You know, and there are some churches that believe in this, and you cannot wear pants as a woman. And a man, you know, better not be caught in the guilt. And I happen to have a husband who was a bagpiper, and he wore guilt. He wasn't wearing it because he thought he was trying to be a woman. He was wearing it because that was part of his uniform. You know, we can't get everything all twisted up like we do today. We're losing our mind over stuff that we need to mind our own business. You know, my mother used to say, you mind your own business 6 months of the year, and you mind your own business the other 6 months of the year. And guess what? You have minded your own business. So many times we get caught up in what's going on in everybody else's stuff. When we need to be taking care of our own. You know, we got to keep it real in this day and age. We got too much crazy going on. And we got to pray. We need serious prayer in our world, not just our nations, but in our world. We need prayer. Prayer changes all kind of things. And the Word of God says in Psalm 38, verses 9 through 22, Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sign is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also has gone from me. My loved ones and my friends stand aloof from my plague, and my relatives stand afar off. Those also who seek my life lay snares for me. Those who seek my heart speak of destruction and plan deception all the day long. But I, like a deaf man, do not hear, and I am like the mute who does not open his mouth. Thus I am like a man who does not hear and in whose mouth is no response. But in you, O Lord, I hope you will hear, O Lord, my God. For I said, hear me, lest they rejoice over me, lest when my foot slips, they exalt themselves against me. For I am ready to fall, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare my iniquity. I will be in anguish over my sin. But my enemies are vigorous, and they are strong. And those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. Those also who render evil for good, they are my adversaries because I follow what is good. Do not forsake me, O Lord. O my God, be not far from me. Make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Hallelujah. David was going through some stuff. You think about it. You're being chased from here to there. He's speaking to God, he's bringing to remembrance the things that went on in his life. You think about being anointed to be king, and you can't even sit on the throne because the previous king is not ready to leave. And you are like, uh-uh, he's anointed, and I'm not killing him, and I'm not trying to go after him. But he's chasing me like I'm a bunny rabbit. He's chasing me like I'm a fox. He's chasing me like he is trying his best to snare me. He wants me dead. Threw a spear at me when I was calming his spirit. He has chased me from here to there. And I've had many opportunities to kill him, but I didn't, because touch not God's anointed. David didn't play, but David did not kill Saul either. And the one coming to him thinking he's going to get a reward for killing Saul, when he didn't, he lied, grabbed up all the stuff he could get and took it to David thinking he's going to get a reward. And he lost his life because David loved Saul. He did. And Jonathan, his son, loved him too. That was his best friend, who was closer than a brother. But David was saying, listen, even my family, everybody is against me. And he only could call on the Lord. But David didn't play. He kept everything real. And when we go to our Proverbs, we'll come back to our life example of keeping it real after we go through Proverbs 12, chapter 12, verses 26 through 28, because it also falls under the Keep It Real title. And it says, the righteous should choose his friends carefully. That's our title for this morning. The righteous should choose his friends carefully. For the way of the wicked leads. We can't just go with anybody. You cannot just do anything. You cannot follow the crowd. So many times our children want to follow after the crowd. Well, this girl, they watch how kids treat their parents, and then they come home with those same awful attitudes. You know, I've seen kids fall out in a grocery store. I mean fall out. Because the mama said, no, you can't. I'm not buying you a toy today. Fall out on the floor and just have a hissy fit. And you looking at your child like, what in the world did that come from? Because they saw somebody else do it. And they got what they wanted. So they figured if they do it, they're going to get what they want. But the difference between some kids and other kids is some parents know how to give holy slaps on the bottom. You're not going to pull that mess. Let's get in this car and let's stop this foolishness. You know, you can't allow. I remember as a kid also being told, don't ask for anything. Don't say anything. Because you need to act like you know how to, like you know how you, that you've been places before. You know, and my sons, they knew. Don't pull no mess like that. My oldest son, when he was, I think he was probably 3, maybe 4 years old. It was during the time where, you know, they had the Ninja Turtles and all of that, and we were in a store. And this kid, we had no idea. That was before they had all the bells and whistles to keep people from shoplifting. He picked up a toy and took it with him. And we didn't know it until we had got it to the car and was putting him in his car seat that we realized he had this toy. And it's like, oh, no, uh-uh. He had to take that toy back. Even though he was old enough to talk, he had to take that toy back. He had to give it back. He had to say he was sorry. Because we had to teach him right then and there, you're not going to be stealing. Even as a little person, you got to nip that in the bud. And he never did it again. But he learned a lesson. And his parents, you're like, oh, I'm not going back in there and being embarrassed. No, you go back in there and show your integrity. My husband was a policeman. He was not going to have a child that starts stealing as a little person. And then you grow up and they think it's all right because they got away with it as a child. We have to keep it real as parents because this is what the word says. A lazy man does not roast what he took in honey, but diligence is man's precious possession. And the way of righteousness is life, and its pathway, therefore, is no death. We want eternal life with God. We don't want to walk in darkness. We got to keep it real with our children, and we got to keep it real with each other. We can't be lazy, and we can't be stealing. And we can't be afraid. We got to walk in faith and not in fear. We got to worry. Instead of worrying, we got to pray. You know, folks won't worry about everything. Worry about this, worry about that. We've got to pray. Just like this morning. We can't worry about our children's safety. We got to pray for their safety. We got to cover them in our prayers. We got to keep it real with our kids. Don't lie and sugarcoat. Keep it real. That there are evil people out there that do evil things, and you need to be careful. You need to know that I'm praying for you every time you walk out the door. And everything, you got to be diligent. We got to tell our little girls, you don't go off with just anybody. You don't go over to sister's house, Sister Susie's granddaughter's cousin's house, and don't tell anybody where you are. You don't do that. Kids going to places they ain't got no business, and nobody knows where they are. We got to be diligent parents, grandparents, aunties, uncles. You are a village, and we got to start acting like a village again. When I was a child, everybody knew where I was, and we didn't have cell phones. But I can tell you this. My mother, who I lived with, was my godparent. Miss Lillian knew everywhere I went on the south side. And my mother, who lived on the north side, knew everywhere I was on the north side. Because she had a phone and folks called, girl, I saw your daughter over here. What's she doing over here? And she living down on the south side. What's she doing on the north side? I saw her going over to such and such a town. And my mother would be on the phone with my godmother asking her, auntie, did you tell Bridget she could be such and such? Then she let her know, yes, I know. And if it was no, believe me, my mother didn't have no hesitation coming where I was and pulling my little happy behind out of the house that I was at because that I didn't have permission to be here. Come on now. We need that again. Folks being all up in our children's business. We got to keep it real. Sometimes it's difficult to be real with people. You don't know how they'll react to what you share with them. Will they be shocked by your admissions? Will they reject or mock you? Will they betray your secrets to others? If you've been hurt, it can become harder and harder to reveal your heart, and it's true. Folks talk about you like a dog because you share something. Some things, it's just, as my mother said, you got to take it to the grave. You don't have to tell all your business. But what you need to tell, God will tell you. And what you don't, you need to keep behind your teeth. Yet you can always be open with God because he knows the unsugar-coated truth. All your hopes, dreams, fears, wounds, insecurities, transgressions, faults, all of it. God knows everything. King David writes, Lord, all my desire is before you, and my sight is not hidden from you. My heart pants, my strength fails me. As for the light of my eyes, it also is gone from me. 38 Psalm, verses 9 through 10. Friend, God knows you. Dr. Stanley calling us friends. So friends and family, God knows you, and he knows what's going on in your fight and in your right now as you read this devotion. God knows my heart. God knows your heart. God knows everything about us. He knows our good, our bad, and our ugly. He knows our light. He knows our darkness. He knows everything. He knows when you've gone through depression. He knows when you've been high. Come on now, calling it right. He knows when you had that drink that you weren't supposed to have that threw you off of your sobriety. He knows that you've been slipping and dipping down the street. He knows you've been going to the club. God knows everything about you. And what you need to do is repent and keep it moving. move forward because God already knows. And it says this, Dr. Stanley comes back and he says, whatever it is, perhaps you can't share it with others, whether it's because they just can't understand the stress of your situation, because you don't want to burden them with your troubles, or because you're simply too uncomfortable to share it. You're carrying it alone when you don't have to. Realize that God loves and accepts you no matter what is going on with you. He wants an intimate relationship with you, which means he is eager to show you his present power, wisdom, and unconditional love in the most difficult circumstances of your life. Whatever it is that is burdening your heart, give it to God. He already understands your pain and knows how to heal it. Open your heart to him, confide in him, and trust him with your most profound thoughts and feelings. You'll see that the Savior of your soul is also the dearest friend you'll ever know. Take it to God, whatever it is. You can't share it with anybody on this earth. You can share it with God. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 16. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He confessed his sins to Jesus. I'm a sinful man, depart from me. Unbelief is sinful. We got to believe that God can and God will take care of whatever it is that's going on in your life. But he and all who were with them were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who was partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. They forsook all and followed him. They were fishermen. And he said, you're going to be fishermen of men. We are fishermen of men. That's what our assignments are. We got to show the world who our Savior is and that we are loved. Hallelujah. You are loved. Thank you, Jesus. And it happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him, and he changed him, and he charged him. Tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus did what? He prayed. He prayed.
Amen.
So why do we think we don't need to pray, Mother? We've got to pray. As the word said, keep it real. We got to keep it real. And we got to be careful of the company we keep. If they tell you, oh, girl, you pray all the time. I don't know why you doing all that praying. That might not be the company you need to keep. We need prayer partners. We need those people willing to pray for us, willing to lift us up, willing to take us where we need to go in the presence of Lord. There's times that you got to have that prayer partner that you can both get filled with the Holy Spirit, that you forget time. Hallelujah. God is in charge. But we got to pray. And we got to pray just like Jesus did. Sometimes you need to just get away from folks, get away from the crowd. You got to go to the altar and lay it down. You got to do what you got to do, but you got to pray. Jesus prayed, and he was the Son of God. Hallelujah. And God answered and sometimes did not answer his prayer.
Amen.
When he wanted that cup to be lifted, he said, God, take, but then he said, your will. We got to give it all to God and say, Lord, your will. Your will in my life. Because, Lord, you know I messed up some things. I got some messes I need to get cleaned up right now, God. But I still ask your will to be done in my life. And when we get to our life lessons from Luke chapter 5, verse 11, it says, when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. The particulars of what Jesus required of his disciples varies tremendously. But of all followers, he demands total allegiance. He must be Lord of all, not merely one significant voice among many others. Jesus should be your best friend. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. We got to have that in my spirit, in our spirit. Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Hallelujah. I believe that with my whole heart. He is the best thing that ever happened to me. Luke 5 and 13, he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him. Jesus did not have to touch people to cure them, Luke 7, 1 through 10, but he made a point of touching the leper, a man no one dared to touch. Jesus always gives us exactly what we need. Can you imagine never being touched ever again? Nobody just touching your hand and saying, I'm praying for you. No one touching you because they didn't want to catch leprosy. Jesus touched the leper because he knew he wasn't going to get leprosy, but he cleansed him by his touch. What a mighty God. And by the leper's face, he was cleansed. Luke 5:16, he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Jesus cherished his time alone with his Heavenly Father. As our example, he shows us that none of us can afford to skip on our devotional time with God. We were made for this. Hallelujah. This is our time with God. And I thank you for joining Mother Valerie and myself for this time of devotion. Excuse me. For this time with God in his word. And I love our prayer for this morning from our 365 days of prayer, not my home. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Romans 12 and 2. And as we go to Romans 12 and 2, let's go. And that's from the TPT. Let's go to King James for Romans 12 and 2. Because sometimes you got to go back to the source. And we know this word. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That is the word. And I love, you know, these other versions, but you got to go to the source many occasions because the other stuff. You know, they give you a nice example, but I like that, be not conformed to this world. Come on now. Hallelujah. Jehovah, as I live a life submitted to you, keep me aware of the difference between your kingdom's ways and the ways of the world around me. Let me be a learner of the culture of your kingdom, living out the values that supersede the wisdom of the world. I don't want to be a theological anthropologist. I want to be an active participant, a citizen of heaven, releasing the fruit of the Spirit that gives life to all who seek it. A beautiful life is one lived in submission and partnership in your ways. I will remember that this life is temporary. This earthly dwelling as it is will not be my home forever. When I think about eternity, daring to grasp what that could look like, why would I choose to limit my life to one enmeshed in society's standards of importance? Let me live in the overflow of the abundance of all that you give, and I will freely live and give in the same way. Ooh, and this is our word for today. When you consider how short this life is, how does that make you rethink your priorities? Are you keeping it real today? Are you being careful of the company you keep? Are you putting your faith in God? The righteous should choose his friends carefully. And I thank God for all of you, my friends, my family, who come in and listen in on a daily basis. I thank God for all of you. Thank you, Mother Valerie, my godmother, who I love to pieces, who came in and said, I'm going to help you read, because you read all that word. Can I help you? And God said, I accept. God put in my heart, accept, because she loves the word of God just as much as I do. And all I can say, Mother, is thank you. And as we go forward to end this morning, our word has been a good and rich word. I thank God for it. And I thank God for you sharing devotion with Mother Valerie and myself. And as we wrap up, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Good morning. God will make a way even when it seems there is no way. Come on, all up in the lesson today. Have a thankful Thursday. We need to thank God for the love. Thank God for the peace. Thank God for the joy that can only come from him. Thank God for his son who gave his life for me and for you. Mother Valerie, will you pray us out? As I pray, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Mother Valerie, please pray us out.
You know, I want to say one more thing. It says, choose your friends carefully, and you should, because I remember reading where this woman, they took her to some place, and they were her friends, and they killed her. I mean, that was in the news.
Shaniqua Robinson. That we should never forget her name.
That lady, I mean, she was with her friends. Her friends killed her. I said, my God, you really should have chosen your friends carefully.
Yeah.
Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you for this day, for this is the day that you made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And God, bless our leaders that they may follow your path, that they may follow you. And bless the people that have charge over us. Bless all our pastors and keep us all safe for this day, like the prayer of Jabez. Keep us from evil and keep us safe and keep us from pain. In Jesus' name, we will praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap, Mother. Have a blessed day, everyone.
It is a wrap.
It's a wrap. And please join us tomorrow as we move forward in the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the
Lord.
It's a
wrap.
It's a wrap. It's a wrap, Mother. Have a blessed day. Hopefully I'll see you this evening at church. God bless you all. It's a wrap.